A detention hearing is scheduled to resume in Worcester today for alleged would-be terrorist Rezwan Firdaus, the Ashland man accused of planning to fly remote-controlled airplanes into the Pentagon and U.S. Capitol building. WBUR's David Boeri joins us now to preview today's hearing. Hi, David, and thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Bob.
David, to start, what happens today? Bring us up to date.
Well, today's hearing continues from November 4th, when the government pulled out the stops to show that Firdaus is too dangerous to let out on bail awaiting trial. So the federal prosecutor led Brandon Davis, he's a supervisory agent with the FBI, through a presentation of photographs, there were audio and videotapes, and testimony to show that Rezwan Firdaus, a 26-year-old graduate of Northeastern University, was actively attempting to engage in violent jihad against the United States. Firdaus referred to the United States as the snake, according to that FBI agent, and the most audacious headline-grabbing part of his plan to, quote, cut the head, heart, and tail out of the snake was to put explosives on these miniature planes that Firdaus would fly into the Pentagon and the Capitol building by remote control. Do you believe he could have carried it out? Asked the prosecutor. Yes, I do, said the government witness. And to that, the government also played a do-it-yourself video of Firdaus converting cell phones into detonating devices for IEDs and a photograph of him holding an AK-47 that an undercover FBI employee had just purchased for him.
The agents purchased the AK-47. Is that what you mean?
That's right. This is where the defense comes in. Defense attorney Miriam Conrad established in cross-examination that undercover FBI employees had purchased AK-47s, grenades, 25 pounds of plastic explosives, the remote-controlled plane, and even paid rent on the Framingham storage facility where Firdaus was working on them. So in surgical fashion, Conrad also established that Firdaus didn't have a job. He couldn't drive his car because he couldn't pay a $100 ticket. And as far as the FBI agent knew, he had never held a gun or an explosive in his life.
So the defense is then suggesting that Firdaus might not have planned this if not for the government agents.
Well, that and other things. Going to the heart of these criminal charges, namely attempting to provide material support to terrorists, the defense suggests that if anybody should be charged with that, it's the undercover FBI employees who actually purchased all the material for Firdaus. And the defense is establishing that Firdaus has a history of mental problems that made him vulnerable to manipulation. It introduced police reports, one a call to Hopkinton police of a disoriented man in the middle of the road, Firdaus, and one secretly recorded tape he tells the undercover employees of the FBI he's depressed, anxious, and has intrusive thoughts. And even the cooperating witness, Bob, is heard on one of those FBI tapes saying, "This guy is effing crazy." I have to tell you as well that as Firdaus left the courtroom, his extended family shouted out, "We loved you." I've heard that before, but I've never heard family members yelling, "Don't forget to take your meds."
So is the defense setting up entrapment as an argument?
It would seem to be the case when they're going after the FBI, asking the FBI, "Didn't you know he was mentally ill?" and suggesting in this way and others that, in fact, he was a big, fat, manipulable target by the FBI.
Let me ask you this question. How did the government find out about Firdaus?
This is where things could get very interesting today, Bob. That FBI supervisor, who will be on the stand again today, testified that the FBI sent a cooperating witness, an informant, into a Worcester mosque to meet Firdaus for the first time. And he met with him for several months after that before the undercover agents for the FBI came in. But through cross-examination, the defense has also established that the FBI used that informant despite the fact the informant was a heroin addict, was selling drugs, was caught stealing on tape while meeting with Firdaus, and even is heard saying he's dope sick. The agent acknowledged that his informant had been terminated before by the FBI.
How critical is that, David, considering the government has been in trouble over its use of informants before, most recently in the case of Mark Rossetti, reputed underworld figure, and of course, Whitey Bulger, Boston mob boss Whitey Bulger?
That's right. This has been a continuing source of embarrassment to the FBI for years. It all came forward with the capture of Bulger this summer, and now Mark Rossetti as well. Here we have another case of an informant committing allegedly illegal acts that the FBI knows about while still using him and maintaining him as an informant. And so in this case now of Rezwan Firdaus, we have someone who's perhaps mentally ill being brought into the FBI's notice by a dope-sick heroin addict who's committing crimes while an FBI informant. So you can imagine today should be very interesting.
WBUR's David Boeri is covering the case of Rezwan Firdaus, the Ashland man charged with planning to fly remote-controlled airplanes into buildings in Washington, including the U.S. Capitol building. David, thanks a lot for coming in.
You're welcome.